Hey everyone, welcome to Huron Chapel. We're so glad you could join us for this podcast series called Follow, an invitation to an abundant life. We hope you enjoy this teaching, and please feel free to share this with your friends. Enjoy today's podcast.
So today we're moving on to in a series called Follow, and we're talking about follow teamwork, which makes the dream work. And at our last ministry team meeting, Dave Gagne spoke about geese and how they work in a team, and I love how that happens. We all seen geese flying in the V formation, heading the south in the fall and coming back now. And we hear them honking powerfully sometimes. You hear them, you look up and you see them flying in that V. While geese travel in a V formation for a reason, apparently that they are able to travel 71% further as a team than if they were flying on their own. I don't know what mathematician figured that out, but I believe him. I believe him. Flying this way conserves their energy. And this is what I read. Each bird flies slightly above the bird in front of him, resulting in a reduction of wind resistance. The birds take turns in the front, falling back when they get tired. In this way, the geese can fly for a long time before they stop to rest. And those geese honking, they're the ones at the back. And they honk to encourage the ones in the front who are doing more of the work. Saying, you got this. You can do this. We're behind you. We're for you. That's what they're saying. I speak geese. I call them the 1 Thessalonians 5:11 geese, where in the Bible says, so encourage each other and build each other up. This is what these geese are doing in the back. And I love this. If one of the geese fall ill in that formation or are injured, they will go down to land and two other geese will come with them and spend time with them on the land until they're ready to fly again. And they'll join another team. That is a great lesson God gives us about team. So let me ask you this question. Who do you have with you in your V formation? Who is encouraging you? Who has your back? Who is willing to stop and be with you when you have to take that downtime and spend time with you and help you? The truth is, we can do more together than we can do on our own. So no wonder when God was wanting to advance this kingdom, John prayed, "No, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." When he wanted to advance his kingdom work, he established his church. And this morning, I'm going to show you. Sometimes it's easier to show you something than talk about it. So I have some great friends who are going to help me show you something about teamwork. So Don and Heather is going to come up, and Tyler and Laura are going to come up to the front here. And to get them to come up, I really appreciate them helping, but to get them to come up, I had to bribe them with chocolate, so I have chocolate here as well. So we'll put all right, we have over here Team Hastings. Let's hear it for Team Hastings. What's your name going to be? Team Scared to Death. Team Scared to Death over here. Let's hear it for them. How's Team Hastings feeling?
Oh, confident.
Confident? Scared to death? How are you feeling?
Scared to death.
Scared to death. So this is what I'm going to ask them to do. And I'm going to ask, you see on their table, this is a team building exercise. You've seen this. They have the amount of cups and blocks. I'm going to give them a minute. I want them to work together to build the largest possible structure possible. And you're going to be the judge who did a better job. Yeah, well, tallest, big, biggest, large, tallest, whatever. Well, we'll let them be the judge. Are you ready? You have 1 minute. There's a timer coming up. Next slide, and we are going to go. All right. So Hastings are going for the styrofoam cups. They like that. So are teams Scared to Death. They're going the styrofoam cups. They're looking systematically. They're working together really well. Oh, Heather Hastings trying something very daring. I like that. I like that. Risk. Scared to Death is being very systematic in their building. Oh, Hastings had a downfall. You got 30 seconds left. Oh, look at, oh my. Will it stand for another 25 seconds? That's the question. Don't blow. Hold your breath. Don't blow. It's okay, Team Hastings. You can do it. Let's cheer Team Hastings on. You can do it. Come on. Okay, awesome. Look at, they're both beautiful. And they're both going to get chocolate. Good, give them a hand. Okay, can you just take them apart for a second and put them back all back down on the table? This is why I had to do this. And I really appreciate you guys doing this because we'll remember this in this team building exercise. There is, I can tell you in 10 seconds, actually, I'm not even speaking a word. I only say a word and show you how they can do this successfully. You ready to see this? You watch this? This is what they can do, okay? 10 seconds. Do you get it? Do you get it? Okay, I'm going to give you guys chocolate because you did a great job.
I cheated too.
You cheated? Oh, don't say that. Team Hastings doesn't want to hear that. There's one for you and Mom. Tyler, just give another hand to these guys. Thank them very much. This is what I've learned. Actually, I'm really excited that Wendy's has come to Goderich. I took my wife down there yesterday for the second time, and I was served by a very young, handsome man called Torin Sissing from our church. Did a great job serving us. But I was so excited about Wendy's coming. I pulled out my old book that Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's, wrote called Well Done. I always date my books so I know when I read them. 1997. I read this book, and this is a quote that really helps us to understand this today. It's in your sermon notes. If you want to pull it out, it'll be on the screen. Thomas said, teamwork is the starting point for treating people right. For most people think teamwork is only for competition against other teams, right? That's how we're wired sometimes. I don't. In most things we do in life, people have to work together rather than against each other to get something done. You see, if I hadn't come up again and said, okay, all you work, if they said, well, let's do this together, they would have built a larger structure. The best teams in the world are the ones that help people become better and achieve more and more than they ever thought they could on their own. So it's no mystery that teamwork is such a big part of success. So I'm going to invite you to turn back in your Bibles to 1 Kings 4, where we read earlier. So we're going to be looking at some verses there today. Talking about teamwork. To follow that. So John read from us from 1 Kings chapter 4 about the success that Solomon was experiencing in his kingdom as king. And this is what we read in verse 20. It says, the people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. So they had great numbers. Verse 20 also says, they were very contented with plenty to eat and drink. So they had resources in their life. Verse 24 says, there was peace on all his borders. So Solomon, his kingdom, enjoyed unity, enjoyed relationships. Verse 25, each family had its own home and garden, so that tells us they had their property. They had a means to sustain themselves. And verse 26, Solomon had 4,000 stalls for his chariot horses. He had 12,000 horses, so they had defenses. They had strength. And Solomon's experiencing all this, and his kingdom is experiencing all this. And the reason for this success was a wise decision Solomon made. He realized he could not do this by himself. Do it on his own. It was too much, too large, more demanding than one man could do. So he knew he needed help from others. And so at the beginning of 1 Kings chapter 4, we find Solomon building a team to work with him because teamwork makes the dream work. So in 1 Kings 4, 1, it says, King Solomon now ruled over all Israel, and these were his high officials. And you see a list of names there? I'm not going to read them. You know why? I'll mess them up. But I'm glad that Solomon gave them credit. That's what he starts listing these officials. And then verses 7 and 8, Solomon also had 12 district governors who were over all of Israel. They were responsible for providing food for the king's household. Each of them arranged provisions for 1 month of the year. These are the names, again, of these 12 governors. Gives them credit. These are the people on the team that I'm calling on to get these things done. And his executive team consists of priests, it consists of secretaries, recorders, palace administrators, district governors, labor managers, and a commander-in-chief. And each one of these have a specific role. answering, overseeing somebody so everything will run so smoothly. What we discover in chapter 4, I love this chapter because we discover this leadership and governing principle Solomon uses. And by the way, we can use it in our life. That's why I'm preaching this today. We can use it in my life. We can use it in my family. We can apply it to our business. We can apply it to our church. So before we look at this leadership principle, we need to know this. Back in chapter 3, you want to turn back just one page to chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon asks God for wisdom. Verses 11 and 12. So God replied, because you asked for wisdom, Solomon, because you asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice, have not asked for what maybe we would ask for, a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies. But because you asked for wisdom, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has ever had or will ever had. And I want us to read that because I want us to understand that before we look at this leadership governing principle of Solomon, that God granted him wisdom. How can I best govern my people? And in chapter 4, this is what Solomon came up with. And we need to know this and apply this to our lives. Here it is. I'll put it on the screen. You can fill in your notes. It's this. Organization that establishes order will have peace, which leads to success. Not fancy. Doesn't make you think, oh, that's nothing I never thought of before, but this is a simple principle. Organization, so in their case Israel, that establishes order will have peace, which leads to success. And at the core of this formula is that order establishes peace. Order establishes peace. Order and peace go hand in hand. So it makes sense. Where there's disorder, there's strife. There is no peace. In fact, the Bible says, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. So when you have a stressful day, ever had a stressful day before? Busy, you come home, you walk in the door and you discover someone cleaned the house. Dishes are all put away, counters are cleaned off, vacuum is carpeted, there's space, there's light. I'm not tripping over things and I'm walking. And suddenly you come in there and you go, peace. Right? Order is to declutter our life, which brings peace, which puts us in a better position to accomplish and achieve all that God has given us to achieve with. That's what decluttering does. In fact, I heard, you know, talking just the kind of same lines, I heard one decluttering expert say that even decluttering your bedroom, making the bed, picking up the clothes on the floor, cleaning off the night tables, the dressers, taking all the stuff out that's there that's not shouldn't be there, will improve your love life dramatically. Because order brings peace, which leads to. So don't bother trying to call here in chapel husbands this afternoon. They are busy decluttering their bedrooms today. They're going to be in there cleaning and sweeping. It'll be amazing. But understand this. When you're driving through town, you stop at the red lights. And you go at the green lights. And that brings order. And there's peace because you get through town quicker. Things run smoother. Imagine if you're in a town where everybody just did what they wanted to do. That disorder would bring a great amount of strife. And there'd be more accidents. You understand? Order brings peace. So here's how it's working in chapter 4 of Kings. So we have this organization called Israel. And Solomon establishes order. He sets up a leadership structure. He builds a team. It's systematic. People have certain roles. They report to certain people. They push their tables together and said, we're one here. And he builds something incredible. And as a result, there's peace. The king runs smoothly because we heard they were content. They had plenty to eat, plenty to drink. There was peace on all the borders. When there's order, there is peace. When people humble themselves, when they respect the order, when they work within it instead of superseding it, order leads to peace, which leads to achievement or success. And in verse 31, Solomon had that. It said his fame, his reputation spread throughout all the surrounding nations. You can apply that to your family. Same thing. This is the same principle you can apply to your family. So, husband and wife get together and say, what is our mission here as husband and wife and family? Well, what are we wanting to accomplish as Christian couple? And we say, well, we want to grow in our relationship with God. We want to stay together. We want to be committed to one another. We want to be healthy. We want our children to come and know Christ and for them to be healthy and stable and emotionally well. That's our mission. So they look to God and say, God, what is the order we can bring into our family to establish these things? In Ephesians 5:2, it says, well, be willing to help and care for each other because of Christ. By doing this, you honor Christ. And you know, Ephesians 5, it says, okay, husbands, if you want to bring order to your family, you need to love your wife as Christ loved the church. How does Christ love the church? He was willing to give his life for it. He was committed to it. He sacrificed for it. He humbled himself for it. That's how husbands are to love their wives. And wives, here's the order. You are to love your husband as the church loves Christ. Well, how do we love Christ? We honor him. We respect him. We glorify, we thank him. And even for children, it says in Ephesians 6, 2 and 3, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you. So when you have a husband loving his wife as Christ loves the church, when you read the Bible and it says, okay, wife, love your husband as the church loves Christ, and children, honor your parents, you know what you get? Peace. You have this unity, you have this team. And as a result, they know what they can, all they can be with all that God has given them to be. They know success. God wants to bring order to your own life. You say, well, I want to be effective. I want to be productive. I want to be all that I can be with all God has given me. So you establish order. That's what Jesus did. And Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness to pray. This is how he established order in his life. He went off by himself, spent time with God the Father, and he did what Mary did. I listen, I pray, I understand, I build this relationship with God the Father. It was a habit Jesus had, and it needs to become a habit or an order in our life if we're going to bring peace into our life. The prophet Habakkuk said, I will climb into my watchtower. That was his way of saying, I'm going to get alone with God right now. I'm going to get away from distractions. I'm just going to go spend time with God and bring order into my life. And that, if I can bring order in my life, I got to spend time with the one who created life. This is not something you're going to do one time. This isn't even something you maybe do once a week. You need to really do it as many days, every day as you can. If you want to get God's vision for your life, hear God's voice in your life, and you got to meet with him daily. Mary and Martha, you know, I go back to that illustration. Martha was busy in the kitchen doing. A lot of us are stuck there. And Jesus says, yeah, I need you to stop and put order in your life and spend time being with me. And here's the thing I get out of this for me. I sometimes, if you're like me, you come to God and say, I want to pray, Lord, I don't know what to do next. Like, I don't know the direction. Would you help me? I want to pray, God, tell me what to do. Tell me what's the next step. Tell me what to do. Because I don't know. But I know I never have to pray this. God, Jesus, what do you want me to be? Because always be with me. Spend time with me. Read my word. Listen to me. Pray to me. Be with me. Don't get distracted with all this that you never get to be. Second Peter 3:18 says, you must grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the being. You must grow in the grace and knowledge. And when you take time to be alone and quiet with God at the beginning of your day, you're establishing order in your day. In fact, I will tell you that you will, by establishing order at the beginning of your day will go smoother. You'll have more peace than not because you began listening and hearing in time with your heavenly Father. As you look into God's word, you hear testimonies of his people. You hear the stories of our God at work. We did miracles where he stepped in. And that's the same God that works in the Bible, the same God that's working in your life today. And that's where we find peace. We learn what God has done. In fact, in your notes, it says, when you see what God has done in the past, it gives you confidence to do something for the future. That's why one of the reasons we look God, I see how you delivered, how you answered prayer, how you healed, how you corrected, how you encouraged, how you didn't do what I wanted to do now, but you have something greater for me, for that person. The same God who works in the lives of those in the Bible gives you confidence today. You remember what God has done. That's why we find Joshua standing before Israel one day and saying, remember what God has done. He led you out of Egypt when you were slaves. He parted the Red Sea. He guided you by pillars of cloud in the day and pillars of fire by night. He did all this. He gave you food called manna from heaven. He did all this. That, remember what God has done, because you need to have confidence today that he'll be with you in the future. David coming before Goliath, the great Philistine, 9-foot-tall warrior, Philistine warrior. David, a teenage boy, comes with him. No armor, just with some rocks and a sling. People says, you're crazy. Why are you going up against this giant? And David said, remember, well, I remember. I look back, remember God delivered me from the mouth of the lion, the claw of the bear when I was a shepherd boy protecting my sheep. That same God will be with me when I reach this Philistine. He is remembering what God has done in the past to give him confidence for the future. That's why I like to read biographies. Whatever you want to do in your life, find someone who's already done it to encourage you. So I read Christian biographies, how God has worked in people's lives. I'm reading a book right now with my son-in-law that was written in 1656. 1656! By a man named Richard Baxter, called the Reformed Pastor. And the whole book is about this. What does it mean to be a pastor? And what it meant to be a pastor in 1656 still means everything today. The same God who worked in his life and the lives of those pastors is still working our lives today. And I'm encouraged, saying, this is what God has done. This is what he's doing. This is what's important. It's still important today. You know, I believe in mentoring. It's where you intentionally and consistently and systematically meet with a person consistently, not just when I have trouble. They speak into your life. They encourage you. They have more maybe wisdom than you do, more experience than you do, and you allow them to speak in your life, and it takes work. And, you know, for me, there's homework and there's time, but it's worth it. You grow in grace. David Mathis, he's executor editor of John Piper's ministry, desiringgod.org. I know a lot of you read that. He said this: grow in grace. You'd be hard-pressed to find a better three-word caption for the Christian life. We're not given the option either to grow or stay the same, but to grow or be carried away, grow or lose your stability, grow in Christ or lose them altogether. So when you bring order in your life, as you meet with the Lord, you're going to discover this peace, because you understand this: sin has brought disorder into our world. You know that, right? You just have to listen to the newscast, read the paper, hear what's going on, and you will understand that sin brought disorder into our life, and there's a lack of peace people have. And Jesus says this: I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind, peace of heart. And this peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So if the world can't give me that, I'm not going to look for it there. I'm going to look for it in him. Find my order, my peace. Let him establish that in my life, because the world can't. Do you remember when you were first saved? When you first said, God, you know, I accept what Jesus has done. I understand it's a sacrifice. Forgive me for what I've done, my sins. I want to let his death represent my death, exchange his righteousness for my sin, which is a great deal. I want to be born again. I want to follow you. And God said, okay. And he come into your life, and he probably right away started establishing order in your household, your life. He may begin talking to you about things that disorder that you need to change, sins you need to let go of, because it brings strife. Because God wants to bring order into your life. Show me a believer who has peace in a chaotic world. I'll show you a believer who's allowed God to bring order in their life. As a result, they're not troubled in a troubled world. They're not afraid in a very scary world, because they possess peace that only God can give. This happened this week in my mentoring. I've been mentoring the same pastors for about 4 years now. And one of them is Tony out in BC. And Tony said something that really got my attention this week. He said, you know, we've been doing this mentoring together for 4 years now. And we've been spending time, our goal is to spend 2 hours every morning listening to God, doing what Mary did, spending time with Jesus, listening, hearing, praying, reading, learning with him. And, you know, we've had to build up to it, and we're getting there. 2 hours, is that my life in 4 years has changed so much. I'm so much closer to God. I'm so much more in tune. I have so much more peace. I more have this connection with God because of what we've been doing these last 4 years. And because when I go to a ministerial now with other pastors, I can tell you who is spending time with God and who isn't. Wow. Bottom line. King Solomon couldn't fulfill the call God placed in his life without help from others, and neither can we, even as a church. We need to establish order, to have peace, that we can do all that God wants us to do with all he's given us to have. We read in 1 Corinthians 12, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole. One whole body. So it is with the body of Christ, that's you and I. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. And this is the fact. None of us are strong in every part of the body. Can we admit that? And the few areas where we have strengths, thank you for having those strengths, are greatly outnumbered by the areas where we are weak. So we need the body. We need where you are strong, where I am weak. And so when someone who is strong where you are weak, become that goose encouraging them. They are leading in their strength. We want to be behind them, encouraging them in their strength. This is what we read about Solomon, 1 Kings 4:21. Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates River in the north to the land of the Philistines and the border of Egypt in the south. He built this great kingdom, the largest kingdom any Israelite king had. And all this could not have been accomplished if Solomon said, I'm going to do this by myself. He was so wise that he knew he couldn't do that by himself. To be a great leader of a great organization, you need to establish order so there would be peace, which leads to success. We need that in your life, you need that in your family, you need that in your church, you need that in your workplace. So you and I may not be ruling over a vast kingdom like Solomon, but God has given each of us a calling. Each of us have a part of this body serving God's kingdom. And he's placed people in our lives who can help us walk out that calling. And maybe not perfectly, but effectively. Because we always seek to do it effectively, because we seek God's wisdom, we honor him through faithfulness, we walk in obedience to his instructions. Organization, fill in the blank, life, family, church, work, that establishes order, leads to this peace, which results in achievement or accomplishment, or whatever word you like, success, but doing what it was created to do. So, Father, I thank you for this chapter 4, God. Thank you that you gave Solomon the wisdom. He asked for that wisdom that we may know this truth today and how we can apply it to our lives and our families and our church and our workplace, God. Let's not walk away here today and just say, yep, another sermon. But, God, we would seek how you can establish order in our life, God, that we could be all that we can be with all that you've given us to be, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We make these messages available to give you a window into our church, but also an open doorway for you to enter into our community. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., and we look forward to seeing you soon. Please remember to visit huronchapel.com for more information about our church.